begrüße jetzt ganz herzlich Herrn Dr. Charles Small von der Universität Yale. Charles Small lehrt dort Politik, Ethik und Ökonomie und ist der Präsident und Gründer des Institute for the Global Study of Antisemitism and Policy. Und er ist ebenso der Präsident und Gründer der Yale Initiative for the Interdisciplinary Study of Antisemitism. Herzlich willkommen, Charles Small.
So, good evening. I would like to wish you first, I think, Shabbat Shalom. It's Shabbat is starting, but in Jewish ethics, all laws that are found in the Torah are superseded by the mandate to save a life. And the reason why I flew here today to be with you is to participate in this very important conference by the Middle East Freedom Forum, and I'm going to be also participating in another forum tomorrow in Vienna, and it's about ringing an alarm bell to a very serious situation, as the organizers of the conference know, and which I'm really grateful to those who organized it to be here. I had an interesting day. Mr. Solomon and Clemens took me to see the old synagogue not too far from here, the synagogue that was destroyed in Kristallnacht in November 1938. And it's poignant for me to see that, the remains of that synagogue and its reconstruction. It's a day after Yom HaShoah, the day of commemorating the Holocaust, that we're here in Berlin, we're here in Germany, to begin dealing with a grave and serious situation. Just 2 days ago at Yale University, we had a conference entitled "The Challenge: Understanding the Challenge of Iran." And we had human rights activists, exiled members of the Iranian community, academic community, Meringis Carr, a human rights hero, as well as scholars from around the world dealing with issues of human rights within Iranian society, the regional and strategic issues, as well as legal issues. And in the evening, as Yom HaShoah was beginning, Shaul Mufaz, the Deputy Prime Minister of Israel, and also the 16th Chief of Staff of the Israeli Army, former Chief of Staff of the Israeli Army, who was heading a strategic team meeting with their counterparts in Washington, came to close the evening. And in his estimation, he said at most, according to Israeli intelligence, there's less than 1 year for Iran to have the capacity to build and deliver a nuclear weapon. This is an aside to the tens of thousands of missiles which are permeating the region and the support that the Iranian regime is giving to non-state actors like Hamas and Hezbollah and others in the region who share, despite differences in Sunni and Shiite traditions, share a common ideological worldview. And in that worldview, there's no space for the other. Everybody has to conform to the limitations of the idea of an ideology and a specific understanding of radical Islam. So if you're Jewish, if you're Israeli, and you have self-determination on what they perceive to be Islamic land in the Middle East, that is not possible. If you're gay in Iran, that's not possible. When Ahmadinejad spoke at Columbia University and he said that there were no gay people in Iran, the American audience laughed. But it was a very serious statement, because in that ideological framework, the other cannot exist and does not exist. And if the other exists, they're eradicated. Political opponents, religious minorities, and certainly Jews. Elie Wiesel also spoke recently at Yale University, and I, watching the video this evening, there's something profoundly troubling, I'm sure it's obvious to most of you, that here is Elie Wiesel, a man for decades has given his life to explaining notions of justice, of remembering the 1.5 million children that died in the Holocaust, and teaching people not to be bystanders, to act, and to try and close the gap between being a bystander and seeing an injustice and doing something about it. And in my estimation, I had the privilege to read his material and to hear him speak over the years. He has the wisdom and the humility of a great scholar in pursuing this important path that he has done throughout his life after being a survivor of the Holocaust. And when he was at Yale University speaking to some of the brightest, most promising students and some of the leading faculty member in the United States, he spoke about the possibility of another Holocaust in Israel. And if that was not pathetic enough to see Elie Wiesel in his lifetime having to say that there's a possibility of another Holocaust, he then went on to say that the most disturbing thing to him is that people are not acting. The Jewish community's leadership in North America is not acting. Faculty and students are not acting. The Western leaders are not acting. In fact, I understand that in this country and in other European Union countries, the trade between Iran and various members, including Germany, appears to be accelerating during a time when Ahmadinejad and the regime speak repeatedly and often about eradicating the state of Israel. About a year and a half ago, when Ahmadinejad said that the Iranian regime would wipe Israel off the map, there was an uproar. People responded. But it's becoming commonplace now. When he said on February the 20th, 2008, not too long ago, and I quote, "The world powers established this filthy bacteria, the Zionist regime, which is lashing out at nations in the region like a wild beast. Israel won the support from the other nations, which created it as a scarecrow so as to keep the people in the area under control." And we know our history. When people start referring to human beings as bacteria that needs to be eradicated, you know that this is extraordinarily serious. I'm a social theorist. I'm not an expert on Iranian society. I'm not a military expert. I do social theory. I've done a lot of work on ethics and politics of multiculturalism, the recognition of the other, Charles Taylor, Will Kimlicka, Michael Walzer, and especially the work of Emmanuel Levinas. Levinas came to France. He left Lithuania as a teenager, came to France. When he was starting his studies, the war broke out, and he never saw his entire family again. His entire family was wiped out in Vilnius in the Holocaust. And Levinas spent the rest of his life educating Europeans on the ethics of treating the other, of taking the ethics from the Torah and from the Jewish tradition and putting it into philosophy. And he says that we're truly not human until we see the other. When we see the other, we see our face in the face of the other. When you see your face in the face of the other, this is when we're truly human. We're facing an ideology which dehumanizes the other and puts it into horrific, dehumanizing notions and concepts. And if this ideology goes deep from a sociological or a social theory perspective, when you dehumanize the other to that extent, and then combine the fact that you begin to blame the Jews for the conspiracy of a Holocaust, that now you're blaming the victims of the greatest Holocaust in the history of humanity as some sort of conspiracy to take power, and that the Jews are, you know, all those old anti-Semitic tropes are being used to dehumanize the Jews and to blame the Jews for using the Holocaust for their political benefit. That when you look at Bergson, for example, that memory is not a part of the person, that memory is the person. When you start to negate the memory and dehumanize people at this level, intellectually, politically, and even ethically, it's not difficult to push a button to eradicate them. And we need to read their material. We need to hear their material. When I'm teaching, I ask my students and I ask people when I go and give public lectures, have you read the Hamas Charter? Do you read the fatwas coming out of Iran? Do you hear what they're saying in the mosques? Do you hear what their political and military leaders are saying and doing and planning? We have to engage that body of material and understand it. And I hope that this is the beginning, that if you're for human rights, if you believe in enlightenment, if you believe in citizenship, this is not about only the Jews and anti-Semitism. We know from history here on these streets that when it begins with the Jews, it never ends with the Jews. the death and destruction that is carried out in the name of looking at the Jew in a dehumanized way while you destroy the human rights and the society, while everybody's focused in the socialism of fools. We know that history. And I really hope that this is the beginning in which scholars and intellectuals and students and politicians who are here begin to act and act quickly. Thank you very much.